But you can see why I'm excited to share this morning, right? I mean, to hear all these stories of the things that the kids were able to do, that we saw God doing in and around Rapid City, you hear about all these little ways that we were serving, the things that we were doing. We could go on and on, right? There's so many stories you can share from a week of serving and a week of being the hands and feet for God. But let's be honest, none of us would be able to do that on our own. None of us in our own strength would be able to step out and do the things and humble ourselves to do some of the tasks that we were asked to do unless we were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why, in God's providence, we are in the passage we're in this morning, because it is going to shine a bright light on what Jesus promised his disciples, and the same promise to us, of giving us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a confidant, as someone to empower us to be able to do the things that we are called to do by God. And so that's why we're in the text of Scripture we're in this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 15 through 31. So John 14, verses 15 to 31. In this passage, as Pastor Michael has been sharing, this is where we're starting to get closer and closer and closer and closer to the cross, when Jesus will leave his disciples. He will die on that cross, he will rise from the tomb, and he will leave his disciples behind. But in this passage, we get some hope, we get some reassurance that we will never, never be alone, ever. And that's the hope and that's the promise we are going to be looking at this morning. So go ahead and let's read this passage together. John 14, starting in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you much, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." So right away you see that Jesus is giving them a promise. And this promise is a guarantee that this will happen. Because as the disciples are finding out, the time is growing shorter and shorter. They are going to be alone. Jesus is leaving them. He is not going to be with them forever. But he gives them the Holy Spirit. And point number one is this: the Holy Spirit grows our love of truth. He grows our love of truth. Well, how does he do that? Well, right from the first verse, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You go further down in verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So there's a conditional statement there, right? If you keep my commandments, you love me, and we'll make our dwelling with you. But that's if. Do we know the two greatest commandments? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love others as ourselves, right? We know those really well. But are those the only two commandments we're given? The only two things that we're told to do? Not at all. Do those encompass all the rest? Sure, absolutely. But we are given so many imperatives in the New Testament to go out and to make disciples, to preach the word to other people, to be God's hands and feet, to serve people, to love people. I mean, there's so many, right? If we made a list, it'd be super long. And for some people, you may be like, whoa, wait, I got to do all those? I got to do all these commandments? I got to do and do and do and do and do, and that makes me right with God? No, 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 that's not it. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. What Jesus is saying is, if you truly care about me, if you truly love me and trust me and want to be my disciple, well, you'll do what I've called you to do. I'm sure there's people in your life that you're really close to. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's a close friend. Okay? What can you do for them? Do you know what to do for them to make them happy, to uplift them, to encourage them, to be there for them? Do you know those things? You probably have memorized a bunch of things about that person you're really close to. Have you not? It's the same thing for us in Christ. It's the same thing for us in Jesus. We want to know how to best serve him. We want to know how to do those things. Well, how do you do that? Well, you get into his word. Because ultimately, going into the word is to know him. He's not walking around right now. I can't just go talk to him. But I can go to the word and go, okay, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? And from here, I can learn through his example and through what he taught. Loving him and loving the word are hand in hand. There's a quote I really like from R.C. Sproul. He passed away a couple years ago, but I love what he says. Listen to this. Quote, some people say, I don't believe the Bible is the word of God, but I love Jesus. I try to be polite when someone says that to me, but I can't help thinking, you're just kidding yourself about loving Jesus, because you can't love Jesus and not love his word. You can discount what I say or what a preacher might say, but you cannot discount what the word says. I have been in churches many times, this is continuing the quote, I have been in churches many times when I got nothing from the sermon, but at least I heard the word of God read to me. There is an inseparable relationship between our affection for Christ and your affection for the scriptures. Amen. There will be many times when myself, another preacher, another pastor will come up here. We'll say all sorts of things, all sorts of stories. You can forget all of those. What you can't forget and what you can't discount is what the word clearly says, what it clearly commands you to do. You can forget all my cute anecdotes, my cute little sermon points. I don't care about that. Forget all that. But you cannot forget what the word of God calls you to do. You cannot, because it is from God. It is God-breathed scripture to us. It is our final authority. This is where we go. Forget all the anecdotes. Forget all the stories. Don't forget the truth. Don't forget what he has told you. Now, what's also interesting about this is, like, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. Okay, got it. But get that word there. Follow. Who likes to be a leader in here? Who likes to tell other people what to do? Yeah, some of you, I don't want to say anything. Yeah, yes, that human nature is, I like to lead. I like to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And don't tell me any different, right? That's human nature. That's who we are. But this scripture does not say this. This says you must follow the leader. You must follow Christ. Because the law of Christ is not a burden. The commandments are not a burden. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You got to give it up to him, though. Because when you come to faith in Christ, you are no longer in charge. I'm sorry. You're not in charge. There is one Lord, one Savior. It's Jesus. That's it. You now take a back seat and you follow where he leads. I cannot tell you how many times on this trip I watched young men and women take the back seat. They took the back seat to what God had planned for them. Because when we showed up, we didn't have choices. We didn't have, oh, would you like to do this? Oh, you have giftings in this area. Oh, well, then you're just going to do this. Nope. We showed up and they said, here you go. Here's your weekly itinerary. Have fun. And I will tell you this. Those stories about the girls are incredible. They are uplifting to me. They are encouraging to me. Why? Not necessarily for what they did, but how they did it. Christ calls us to be servants, bond servants, slaves to him. That means laying it down and going and doing exactly what he calls us to do. To do it with joy. How many of you be willing to empty a nasty toilet that's been there for who knows how long and smile on your face? You got to think about it, right? And then our boys. I tell you what, our boys, we didn't have enough sharing because some of them are still in rabbits, some of them are here, everywhere. But let me tell you, I brought a group of boys that hanging out with little kids for an entire week. Nope, not their first choice. Trust me, not their first choice. Not even close. Maybe not fifth choice. Let's be honest. Like, I could have named a few things. You know, we're strong. Maybe we could lift this table up. We could paint that thing. We could go do that. We'll do anything. No. You know what? You know what God called them to do? He said, guess what? You're going to the boys' club of Rapid City on the north side of the city, where it's very impoverished. You know what? You're going there, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to sit with a young man who is playing some game, the carpet ball, whatever it is. You're going to be with him. You're going to listen to his story. You're going to listen to what his reality is. I talked to one of those young men. 7 of his 8 siblings are currently in prison. Where's the hope for that young man? He needs the hope. He needs the gospel. He needs the light of truth. He needs somebody to sit with him, like I watch some of my boys do, sit with him and love him supernaturally. That's what that boy needed. He didn't need us to lift something up. He didn't need us to build him a new house. He needed to know that in the midst of his trials and struggles and reality of his life, that there's a God who loves him. That's what he needed. I remember a story. I remember clear as day. We were told to bring our lunch to every site, right? Just bring your lunch. I remember the first day we sat in the cafeteria with the kids. I had my lunch. I had an Oreo. Just Oreo. Didn't think anything of it. Kid across the way says, wait, I wish I had an Oreo. Right here. Boom. Heart fell out. Never brought my lunch again. Never brought it again. None of us kids did. We ate whatever they were eating. Now, that's not the story. Here's the story. One of our young men was wearing a shirt, Star Wars shirt. I'm not a Star Wars guy. Don't expect some, like, monologue here. Not happening. But he was wearing a shirt from one of the movies, and the kid kind of knew the story, and so he was going back and forth, and our young man not only was sharing about, you know, Darth Vader coming to light, having an opportunity, whatever, sharing that. But as he's talking to the kid, I'm listening out of the corner of my ear, and I'm hearing, wait, he's not talking about the movie anymore. Wait, this guy, whoa, what? Oh! He started sharing the gospel with this kid. He started sharing the truth with this young man through a Star Wars movie. Don't take for granted any opportunity you have. Whether it's a movie, whether it's a shirt you're wearing, whether it's having lunch with somebody, do not ever discount opportunities you have. That was a God-given opportunity that young man had, and he stepped into it and he shared the gospel with that kid. Praise Jesus. He did it. That's a commandment. Go out and share the gospel, teaching them. That's what that young man did. He didn't pause. He didn't say, oh, can't do this. No. He stepped up and did it. It's convicting to me. How many times do I sit with somebody over lunch or I see somebody somewhere and I don't share with them? I don't get to know them. That was convicting. But it was also encouraging because he did it. If we love him, we will follow his commandments. But not only that, further in this passage, point number 2, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Man, he is. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. Looking at verses 16 through 20 and then also 26, Jesus tells them, these scared disciples who are getting close to the cross, he says, I'm out, I'm leaving, I'm out, I'm gone. And they're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. No, we need you here. But he doesn't say, I'm going to leave you, does he? Look at verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. As an orphan, how much more lonelier can you get? He says, I'm not going to leave you as that. I am going to give you something even better. I walked alongside you for years. I taught you things. I showed you miracles. I was with you. But guess what? When I leave, there's one that's going to come that's even better. It's even better. Not greater, better. Okay? Same thing. The ministry is going to continue. As Jesus walked with them, the Holy Spirit is now not only going to walk, but going to walk in them. Those who are in Christ are going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what he tells them. And not only does he say you're going to get the helper, you're going to get the advocate, the third person of the Trinity. This is all Trinitarian language. Third person of the Trinity, equal with the Father, equal with the Son. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with you forever. That is a promise. That is a promise. It is a not here today, gone tomorrow. If you are a believer here today, the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you forever. That's what it says. Forever. Why is that good news? You know why it's good news? Because all of us are what? Well, some of you not you don't like that word? Yeah, you're a sinner. Yes, sinner. Absolutely. That's why that's good news. Because if it was up to me and how great I was and how perfect and righteous I was, I would have left it a long time ago. Every morning you wake up, done, gone. Holy Spirit's gone. No, that's not what it says. Here's the deal. You come to faith in Christ. You believe in him and him alone. You are justified, right? You are made right with God. You are called righteous. Is it your own righteousness? No, it's Jesus' righteousness that clothes you. You are now righteous because he is righteous. Now, that's justified, right? So before God, if I were to meet him right now, I'd be good. But does that mean that I'm perfect? Absolutely not. But what the promise is that the Holy Spirit will be with you to make you more Christ-like throughout your life. That is a promise. But it is also a process. All right? And part of that process is learning what the commandments are, following the commandments, serving him, doing these things. He is making you more Christ-like. I watched that through the kids this week. They were becoming more Christ-like. Because Christ wouldn't have cared what job he got. He would have done it. So we know that the Holy Spirit, now here we get goofy theology. The Holy Spirit is not doing anything totally radically different, is he? Oh, we got to pause here. No, he's still God, right? Has the Holy Spirit been working since creation? Yes, thank you. Let's be Trinitarians about this. Yes, the Holy Spirit has been working since creation. Okay, so is he working in a slightly different way? Sure, but he's still working. All right, he's still working. God is always working. That's the beautiful thing about our God. He doesn't just set this thing in motion and say, whoo, good luck. No, he's always wanted that deep relationship with us. So through the Holy Spirit, he indwells us and continues the ministry that Jesus continued through us now. That's humbling. Wants to use us? Ooh. No, he does. So anyway, that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, what else is the Holy Spirit for us? Not only is he our helper, look at verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. How many of us crave to know truth? Want to know the truth? I'm sick of being lied to. How many of us are like that? Wow, you don't watch anything? You don't listen to anything? Gee, yeah, no, I want truth. I'm sick of hearing all the lies. I'm sick of all the weird heretical theology that's out there. I'm sick of all the news pun. I'm sick of all that stuff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all the new ways we're going to just pretend to, exegete the scriptures. Just totally, I just learned this. No one's ever discovered this about the scriptures before. I just came up with this new idea. No, you didn't. No. You twisted what has been there for a long time. What are you doing? But we listen to this day after day after day. And it's like, we would be exhausted. You can't keep up with all the false teaching. You can't. And guess what? Don't try. That's not how you should spend your time. If we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, where should we be going? To him. Yes, through the scriptures. Read them. Know them. Memorize them. Love them. Why? Because he's talking to you. Right? I mean, we say these things, we believe these things, but sometimes we don't walk it out. Do we truly believe this is God speaking? Then wake up every morning and listen to him. He loves you. We already talked about not leaving us as orphans. Beautiful promise. Read that every once in a while just to make yourself smile. But look at verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, Jesus is speaking directly to the disciples right now, right? Because we know that empowered by the Holy Spirit, they are going to write Holy Scripture, right? Got it. Definitely. That is a promise to them. They wouldn't have been able to put the Bible together on their own. Trust me. Trust me. I mean, Jesus was nice. He was a good rabbi, good teacher. He broke down stories for them, put them in cute little parables so they'd remember them. But still, on their own, never happened. But he promises the Holy Spirit will help them to remember those things. That promise is also for us. I don't know how many people I talk to are like, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't remember where the story's at. I can't remember. Yeah, you can't on your own. Of course you can't. You're not capable. You're a human. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you have help, God's help. Like, he's there for you. But you have to be able to get this in your head. How do you do that? You read it. But what's nice is, as I'm reading this, there can be passages. How many people have read a passage before and you're like, I have read this 100 times. But yet, you read it for the 101st time and you go, wait, that's in there? Wait, that was there? Was I totally blind? Well, I mean, the words haven't changed. What? Where did this come from? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit is helping you to understand it deeper. You're at a different place in your life. Same words. But it's a promise that you will better understand it. He's your inward teacher. Now, these are all wonderful promises. These are great promises. On this trip, we needed the Holy Spirit. I mean, woo! Woo! I'm going to share a story with you. One night we went to, we got acquainted with the Lakota culture, okay? A lot of the Lakota people are moving off of Pine Ridge. They're moving to the northern side of Rapid City, to the point where north side of Rapid City is about 70% Lakota. I mean, it is a huge population there. They're exodus off of Pine Ridge. They don't want to be there for obvious reasons we already know. But anyway, so we got acquainted with these people. And so they invited us the one night to go to a powwow. I've never been to one. Anybody in here been to one? Okay, we got a few. Yeah. Pretty cool cultural thing, right? You got dancing, they have singing, the drum beats going on. All the families there, which I love. I mean, that is great. Getting the whole family together. I love seeing families like that, spending time together, enjoying their culture, enjoying their heritage. Reminded me of cookout in Baltimore. That's kind of what it looked like to me. Like, it's just a cool thing. They were all getting together. Loved it. But then we went back the next night. The next night, we were invited to their church. We were invited to hear from some of the leaders of their church. We got to hear from their deacon. We got to hear from their traditional medicine man. And we got to hear from an activist who is a part of their church. That was difficult. They said some things that made me very uncomfortable. That made the Holy Spirit very uncomfortable, let's be honest. We were sitting there, and the traditional medicine man was speaking about various things and sharing and whatnot, and they had an altar, is what they called it. They had a buffalo head there. They had the pipe. They had all sorts of other instruments there. They had a Bible kind of covered up. They had all these things there. And the kids and I were like, okay, what does all that mean? So I asked, I said, what does all that mean? Why is it all there? So they're explaining, and I'm like, huh. So the one guy, there was like a feather on top of the Bible. He kind of took it off and put it somewhere else. And the other guy's, oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Bible's up there too. Yeah, the Bible and the pipe, you know, those are both of our main things that we really lean into and value. And they're on the same level. And I went, wait, what did you just say? Wait, what did you just say? You said your pipe and the Bible are on the same level? Excuse me? I mean, I can deal with the rest of your idols up there that I want to kick off the altar and not have anything on there. I got that. But you're going to put God's word next to a pipe? At same level playing field? No. 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 But you would have been proud of our kids, because when we got home, not during it, no one ran up there and kicked, you know, the idols off or anything like that. But you would have been proud of our kids, because when we went back and debriefed about what we saw and about what they said, you could tell our kids had Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, discernment. Because they picked out every single thing they saw that was unbiblical. Every single thing. They went, that's not right. That's not right. The one story that the one lady shared, the girl, one of the girls picked up on, she said, I was in a bad way. I had gone through all this abuse. I'd gone through all this drug thing. I've gone through all this. But finally, I was saved, and I was saved because of... Everybody wanted to be like, Jesus, say it! Jesus Christ, you are saved because Jesus saved you like he saved me. Yes, praise the Lord. We wanted to get up and clap. It's not what she said. She said, I was saved because of this medicine man. What? No. No. If you are saved, sitting here today, if you think you're saved by anything else, and I mean anything else besides the Lord Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, dying and rising again, if you think you're saved by anything or anyone else, you are not saved. You are not. He is the only one who can save wretched sinners like me. The only one. My heart broke at that moment when we heard that. That young lady thinks she's saved because of a medicine man. Medicine man can't pay for your sins. Only the one that is God and man could ever pay for your sins. That's it. Final point. Point number three, the Holy Spirit gives us assurance. Not only discernment, loving his word, being our advocate, always being there for us, but the Holy Spirit gives us assurance. Look at the last part of this passage. Jesus really drives home a message we all need to not only hear, but internalize and believe. Verse 27, he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus promises them peace. And this is not like peace, like, oh, I got warm, fuzzy feeling inside. No, it's not that. No. The peace that he gives you is an everlasting peace. He's the Prince of Peace, is he not? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the only one who can give you actual rest from your worry, actual rest in this life and the next. He's the only one. Now, what's crazy is, man, this is a deep verse. You can go a lot of places with this. But what I was thinking when I saw this is, here's reality. Before Christ, I was at war. Who was I at war with? God. Yes, I absolutely was. We were at war with each other. I didn't like him. I didn't like his rules. I didn't want to follow his ways. I wanted no part of it. None of it. I was at war with him. Absolute war with him. But what Jesus says here is when you come to faith, when you come to believe, when you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you are now at peace with that person who should have, that being who should have crushed you because you're a sinner. You can have peace with him now. The book of Romans, one of my favorite books. What does it say in there? He says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation. None. None. You need to think about that. All your sin that should have crushed you because there is a holy and righteous God who is absolutely perfect should have smashed you to smithereens and gave you no choice, no option, been done. He loves you now. You are an adopted son or daughter into his family. Are you kidding me? That's the peace you get. That's the peace you can have. But there's only one way, and it's through him. That's the only way you can have peace. And amidst all these different things we were going through on this trip, that's what brought me peace. Didn't have to worry. Didn't have to be afraid. Why would I be? Jesus is Lord of all. There is nothing in this world I need to be afraid of. Nothing. Oh, we got to go there anyway. Go with me to verse 28 towards the end. There's a phrase in here I got to make sure we're clear on. I don't care what the clock says. We got to talk about this. end of verse 28, Jesus says, you should rejoice because I'm going to the Father. You'll get the Holy Spirit, even better. For the Father is greater than I. Here's where we get some goofy theology. People will take this last part of this last verse and say, boom, there it is. Holy Father is the upper supreme echelon of the Trinity. Of the rest are subordinate to him. Jesus is created, so he's a little bit lower. Holy Spirit comes from both, so Holy Spirit's a little bit lower. So you get this weird hierarchy in the Trinity. Is that true? No, thank you. No. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus Christ is God, the Son. God, God, God. There's no hierarchy there. Well, how do I know that? Well, I mean, if I've read the book of John at all, right from the jump, right? John 1 says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Thank you. John 10, what? Verse 30. John 10, 30. Jesus speaking, I and the Father are many? No, we are one. Okay, we are one God. One God, three persons. Don't do a bunch of weird stuff. There's no hierarchy in the Trinity. All one. The rest of this here, especially verses 29, 30, and 31, give us assurance. Not only will we have the Holy Spirit, not only are we going to get peace, Jesus says in verse 29 that I'm telling you this way ahead of time. I mean, he's a prophet. I'm going to tell you way ahead of time. I'm God. I know what's going to happen next. Listen to me. And not only when I say it, do I want you to believe it, but when it happens, I want you to go, oh yeah, he said that was going to happen. He wanted their faith to increase. Not that they didn't have faith, but he wanted them to be like, wow, he was absolutely right. I love verse 30. Could have sat on this a while. So he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And then what does he say? He's got no claim on me. He can't do anything. This is one of the craziest parts of the Christian faith. At a time when it looked like Jesus and God had failed, the plan had all went to kaput, it was a mess, it was not happening the right way, Jesus goes, no, he doesn't have any claim on me. The devil thinks he's going to win. He thinks that when I get up on that cross and I'm crying out to God and things look really black and bleak and I'm dying on a cross and I'm suffering, he's going to think, woo, got him, we won, we won, we won, look at guys, we won. No, false. You failed. You failed because I did exactly what I came here to do. I conquered not only you, but I conquered death. I conquered sin. And now through me, I have a multitude that are going to be victorious because of what I did up there. That's what I did. You got no claim on me. Who do you think you are? Devil, you are a created being. I am the uncreated son. You are nothing. You are created. You should have bowed the knee when you had a chance. But instead, you decided that you were going to do your own thing. You're going to follow your own path. You're going to follow your own commandments, your own ways. And guess what happened to you? You're never going to have victory. You will never have peace. You will never have peace. But those who bow the knee to me, who follow after me, will always have peace. Always. That right there is what we need to take away. You need to step into tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, knowing that if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, he is never going to leave you, he is always there for you, and the more you allow him to continue to rule your life and run your life, the more you're going to see him working. Not promising health, wealth, prosperity, no. What I am promising, if like Jenna, you start making a list during your days, of what you see God doing around you and in you and through you, you're going to run out of paper. You're going to be scrolling on a phone like this in your little notes app until your thumb is sore. Because God is always working. Always working. Take that assurance. Take that rest with you when you leave here today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for the assurance, the just peace that you give us, the reminder of that in this passage, God, when the disciples knew the time was coming, when you would leave this world, and I'm sure they were scared and thinking about, man, what's next? How are we going to do? But you gave them peace, Lord, as you can bring us peace today If we will only bow before you, Lord, have faith and trust in you and you alone, you promise that peace. You promise your helper, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. I thank that you are active in your church, that you are building. I pray, Lord, that as we go out of this building, Lord, we would continue to serve you, to love others, to take those opportunities that you give us throughout our day, to see you working and to step into those moments in faith, Lord, and trust you. Not be afraid or ashamed. Lord, we pray for that for everybody in here today. In your heavenly name, amen.